Sam Bradford has qualified for the U.S. amateur four ball.
The
Interesting.
quarterback,
Yeah, I
Oklahoma.
know he was a good player growing up in Oklahoma, but I guess when you got a couple hundred mil, you just work on your golf game.
Wonder who his partner is.
Ben Bench, I believe. Let's see, it is Ben Bench, both of Oklahoma City. They were high
Mrs.
school
Bench,
teammates.
Mr.
They were,
Bench.
yeah, Johnny Bench. All right, take number two. In three, two. Burko and Brentley with you on College Golf Talk, a mid-morning Thursday edition. Needed some time to digest all the men's regionals, which finished up on Wednesday. So the field set for the 30 teams and individuals moving on to Omni La Costa for the Division I National Championships. The women are there. Practice round today. They get going in earnest. Opening round action on Friday. We will both be headed to California in the coming days, looking forward to it. But as we've always said, some tongue in cheek, but the truth of the matter is, expect the unexpected. It will be chaos. And there are multiple top 20 teams in the country for the men that have seen their seasons abruptly come to a close.
I think I have to apologize to one of them too, the LSU Tigers. I may or may not have said on the selection show that I felt that LSU, other than Auburn, was the most equipped to win a national title this year. That obviously did not come to fruition. I've had a bad track record predicting things for the women, and now it's Jake Amos's squad's turn. So I'm gonna hold off on the big proclamations for a little bit. I'll go back in time out and, hopefully, I can get back on the horse and start having some better luck with that.
Fast and furious as we recap the regionals. We'll start where LSU was in Amherst, Virginia. They got going a day early to try to beat some weather. They were back on schedule, finishing up on Wednesday. Oklahoma wins, Vanderbilt second, Tennessee third, Wake Forest and Pepperdine. Those are the top five. Vanderbilt, I'm going to start there. I give them credit. I didn't think they were going to be able to get through a lot of the praise should go to Jackson Van Paris. He has clearly become one of the better players in college golf. He wins for the first time in the U.S. Tennessee, really well done. How about Wake Forest, 15 under in the final round to move on to Carlsbad? And then Pepperdine, a couple of birdies on 18 to finish one better than Arizona. And LSU, I'm looking at it, ranked sixth in the country. They really weren't in it. They tried to make a little bit of a charge yesterday on Wednesday in the final round, but the hole was too deep. And as I always look at leaderboards, Brentley, there were too many teams ahead of them. It wasn't that they couldn't make up four, five, six shots. They also needed help from two, three, four teams. And that was a recipe, not for disaster, but insurmountable. So quite shocking, honestly, to see them not really even be in the narrative.
I think it's fair to call it a little bit of a disaster when you're a top seed, and the fact that we've only had, what, now six top seeds since 09 that have failed to get through. And the interesting fact about LSU is they are now the first program to have done it twice. Also did so back in 2018. I was expecting, obviously expecting something a little bit better from the Tigers, but I just had this feeling that they were going to make a run. And, you know, as you said, they got to about, I think they got within two shots at one point, but it was going to take probably something even more impressive than what they did back in 2015 at Yale when they were 11 shots back, I believe 10th place going into that final round. I actually texted Jake a couple nights ago and said, "Hey, like, if there's something to share with your guys, like, here's the fact that LSU came back from 11 shots and 15, and what did they did? You know, what did they do a few weeks after that? They ended up winning the national title. But yeah, I know it stinks for that program, but when you think about the guys that are coming back, I mean, I know they're gonna lose Algett Clean, but Arnie Svensson has had a insane freshman year. He's got a ton of talent. I think he's gonna be one of the best players in the country next year. Obviously, it being Jake's first year, so I think you can only go up with that program. Burko, you got three right in this regional. I got three right. We did it a little bit different. You had Wake. Kudos there. They had an insane final round. And then I had, I had Vanderbilt. And did we both pick Tennessee? No, I had Vanderbilt and Tennessee. You had Pepperdine and Wake. So we did it a little bit different ways, but we each got three. Wanted to add a little bit more on Pepperdine, though. We've covered this program, you know, through the ups and downs. You know, Michael Beard's really built, a great program there. Saha Thigala, William Mao, all these big time players who have now gone on to play on the PGA Tour have come through Malibu. But last year they finished under 500. It was very much a rebuilding year. And talking with Michael Beard last night, the challenge was just trying to get this group to believe that their good is good enough. You know, they didn't have a Sahith or a William Mao to kind of look up to and see how it's done. They've had to figure it out by themselves. And, you know, they've slowly gotten better. And this spring, I think the turning point, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, was at Paso Tiempo. They had the 36-hole lead. And though they ended up finishing third, like, you don't really get better unless you get thrown into the thick of it and you fail a couple times. So I really felt like them getting the taste of that on TV, being in the thick of a high-pressure situation, ultimately prepared them for what they faced yesterday. And, you know, credit to them. They're heading to a national championship and probably, you know, one of the more balanced teams. And they're going to need someone to step up and really give it their all and shoot 67, 68. But this is a team equipped, I think, to potentially get into that fourth day and try to make a run at the top eight.
Yeah, they had the chance to look back at what they didn't do that final round at Paso Tiempo. So at least it was a recency shortcoming, if you will, that, hey, let's think about that. That was just a few weeks ago. So credit to Michael Beard and Pepperdine for getting back to the national championships. We go from Virginia to the Panhandle, Tallahassee.
Hold on one sec, Berka.
Yeah, what do we got? What did I miss?
If you're Vanderbilt, do you bring Gordon Sargent he didn't travel with them to regionals. Ben Loomis was the unused sixth man. If you're Scott Limbaugh, do you give Gordon the option to come to La Costa?
Yes, I think
I'm putting you on the spot.
I owe Scott Limbaugh a call. My morning got hectic, so I didn't on the way home from the dentist, but I think you give him the ability to be the six. If you're locked in on the five, then maybe you know something I don't.
No, I don't. I'm with you. I think you, if he wants to be there, I think you got to have him there. Might not play, but I think you gotta bring him.
And if I'm ending my college career and I'm Gordon Sargent, not thinking for him, but I would 100% be on that plane, even if I don't hit a meaningful golf shot.
Yep.
But that's me. I'm old and stuck in my ways. Now we move to Tallahassee.
Old, but no cavities and clean teeth. So
clean choppers. I'll take what I can get. Seminoles take care of business at home. No surprise. Luke Clanton leading the way. The Rebels, really solid there, number two. New Mexico, didn't see that coming for the 46th-ranked team in the country. Georgia moves on. Augusta, certainly didn't see that coming. credit to them. I still am devastated that the 15th-ranked team in the country, the team I thought could make it to match play close to home, San Diego State, did not get through regionals. They had work to do, and they were getting it done yesterday. And not to point out, Justin Hastings went out great, then bogeyed 10, 11, 12, and 13. They were going to go as he went. And that's not a knock on anyone else. When you are an All-America type caliber player, I'm shocked. I really thought they were a dark horse to make match play. And they didn't get it done. So things were topsy-turvy in Tallahassee.
what's it, 7 straight years now they've been sent 2 time zones east and still have made it through just one time. I think that's the stat. And anytime you're in San Diego, you're going to have to travel. I think the same can be said for the Florida teams like we saw this year as well. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, sometimes you just get in a funk. I mean, we've seen it with the Florida women where there's not necessarily anything major that's wrong with the program, but it's just sometimes you string together these inopportune moments and they start to pile up. But kudos to Ole Miss. They hadn't made a habit of getting past this regional round either. I think this is now the 3rd time under Chris Malloy. It seems like it should be way more, but kudos to them. And I think the story, though, has to be Augusta. They're the 12 seed. They're just the 3rd 12 seed now to make it through to the NCAA championship since 2009. San Diego did it that first year. Augusta then did it in 2018. Of course, they went on to boast the individual winner that year in Brock Everett. And now Augusta does it again. This is a completely different team than even a few years ago. I mean, you look at Stephen Payne now from South Africa. He's the head coach. He's got a mix of South Africans and a mix of Georgians on the team. They were outside the top 100 coming into regionals. They had to win the Southland to be regional eligible because they were under 500. But you kind of see it sometimes. Some of these teams that might roll the dice a little bit in terms of playing a tougher schedule if you're a mid-major. You're going to be under 500. You have to win your conference championship. But the trade-off for that, right, is that you get beat up a little bit and you're not scared at the end of the season of playing these tournaments. I mean, regionals wasn't even the toughest tournament they played this season. They played the Valspar. They played the Williams Cup. So they've been tested, and this is a long-hitting team. They got 2 guys, at least 2 guys who could probably start on a lot of Power 4 teams in the country, and they went down in familiar territory and got it done. So I think the magic ends there. LaCosta might set up a little bit better for them than most people think, but anytime you're a 12 seed getting through regionals, that's 2 pats on the back. That's really good.
How do we do in those regionals in our selections?
Oh, I forgot. I got so. I got too many screens up. Let's see. Tallahassee, you had Ole Miss, FSU, Georgia. You had 3. Missed on Louisville. Gosh, they dug themselves a huge hole and just couldn't quite dig out of it. And then I had
San Diego State. Yeah.
So I had 3 as well. And I missed on Northwestern and Michigan State.
All right. We got 6 apiece, 2 regionals
actually,
down.
You know what? Well, no, I think I might have had 2 because I didn't write down. I had Florida State, Ole Miss. I had San Diego State as well. So I think
6,
I had
5.
I'll have to go back to the tape, but I'm going to give myself 2 for now. And it might not matter, so I might not need to be.
Back, all right.
I'm saying for me, I don't think I did very well.
We head west from Tallahassee to Auburn. The Tigers dominant 27-shot win over Texas A&M, UCLA, Purdue, Georgia Tech. They are the top 5. SMU was in the mix. New Mexico State rounds of even par, and then 23 over. That last day, Auburn, right where you'd want to be. Jackson Coivin, as good as he was a year ago, starting to really round in the form. Texas A&M continuing their good spring season. UCLA, we have been bullish on them. No real surprises to me. You could argue maybe SMU, Purdue, maybe Georgia Tech wasn't quite there, but pretty standard, and I feel like we probably got 4 or 5 each there. So, someone might have had a perfect one there.
You had A&M. So you missed on SMU. So you got 4.
Got it. 4.
And I missed on SMU as well. But I got Purdue. I didn't get Georgia Tech. So that was kind of our variance there. But yeah, we both got four. So that's not bad.
That's not what we thought at all.
I had a feeling that Purdue was going to play well. And it's not just because it's a good story being Andrew Sapp's first time back at the national championship now since with North Carolina in 2017. I mean, that's a great story. But, you know, I just felt like Rob Bradley didn't leave the cupboard bare there. And so I had this feeling that they were going to play well. SMU, I am a little bit surprised by that just because, William Sides, Zach Kingsland, they had been so good. But again, I mean, five shots, you could find those a bunch of different ways throughout the course of 54 holes. I still think that program's trending up. But the story is Auburn. I mean, it is their home golf course, but they just won by 27 shots, which is the second most all time in NCAA regionals ever, not just six regional era. I mean, this is going back to 89. And do you recall who had the largest margin to victory? It was back in 2010. It was 29 shots and it was out in Bremerton, Washington. Do you remember that? Does that ring a bell?
2010. So the NCAAs were Augusta won. I think the second year was at Carson Creek. So 2011.
It was the NCAA Rest Regional.
Yeah, I'll say UCLA, and I've got
Washington.
No clue.
It was host Washington, a team that featured then world number one ranked amateur Nick Taylor.
Chris Williams. Oh, no, Nick Taylor. Sorry,
Nick Taylor was number, because Chris Williams was the Phil Mickelson Award winner that year. And the common thread now, where am I going with this? Chris Williams, now the assistant coach.
Assistant at Auburn.
And get this for crazy, too. So Jackson Koivun, now an NCAA regional champion. The last two Auburn players to win an NCAA regional, obviously Koivun this week, and all the way back 1990, my birth year, Jimmy Green.
Jimmy Green.
Who is now the general manager at Auburn University Club, where this regional was played. How about that? And he was there. The Auburn men's golf account posted a nice little picture of both of them. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I live for doing this. The small little, coincidences that just can't possibly be coincidences.
Is it Jimmy Green? Not Jamie.
It's Jimmy
Green. Said Jimmy.
Jimmy Green, yeah.
You said
I
Jamie.
Almost said Jimmy Smith. Oh, did I say Jamie?
You said Jamie, the Duke coach.
No, I think I said Jimmy, but I think I said it with a little twang.
Yeah.
Because I was reading it. I have it right up here. So sometimes I can have a little twang in my voice. So, but yeah, Jimmy Green,
right,
James Green. Not to be confused with Jamie Green, whose team did
when
not
you said
get
that.
Through. It was not a good week for Jamie Green.
It wasn't a good regional site weather-wise for Reno. We'll get to that shortly. So the stars aligning for Auburn. Maybe they go back-to-back at La Costa in a few weeks' time. Head to the Midwest, Urbana, Illinois. The Fighting Illini, Oklahoma State, they tie for top honors. No surprise there. UNLV, a solid third. We were very bullish on John Paul Hebert, his team. Texas Tech, we were uncertain. They make it. And how about Troy? No one had Troy on the bingo card. Well done to them. And the hole was dug for the 10th-ranked Tar Heels of North Carolina. They made a big charge, and then the charge went away. But I think more importantly, my takeaway is Troy didn't let them in. I thought, all right, now maybe Troy's going to drop back as we kept hitting refresh and refresh. So the Tar Heels, they're done. The collegiate careers for the Fords, not ending at La Costa as part of the team.
And this has huge ramifications, I think, for Player of the Year, too, because Luke Clanton gets his fourth victory of the year. David Ford's got five, but his season's over. What do you do now, Berko? David Ford's victories are much better than Luke Clanton's are. He won Colonial. He won Williams Cup. He won Valspar. So the wins are more impressive, and he has one more than Clanton.
What does Koivun have? Koivun have three?
Koivun's got three now, including
you're talking an SECs and regionals.
I believe Koivun will still be ranked second behind David Ford in the rankings. Clanton might jump up to fourth or third. I think he's at fifth right now. Actually, I have the rankings that I can pull up. But, I mean, it just goes back to if you don't even get there, can you really be the player of the year? And there's a little bit of precedence with this, and at least as it relates to the Haskins Award. I mean, this is an award that's been given out, what, every year since 71.
And yeah, only 50 plus years.
One time has a player won the Haskins and not played the NCAA championship. That was Norman Zhang in 2018. So there's not a lot of precedence for it. I don't know. I'm split. I mean, and considering that, as we know, a lot of voting opens before NCAA's is over. What do you think happened? What do you think should happen with that?
To be determined. I'm with you to a point. If you're not playing in the year's biggest event, most meaningful championship, I don't want to say you are penalized, but I would now let the story be written. Let's put it this way. If Clanton and or Koivun win the NCAAs,
oh yeah, player of the year,
they're getting it. And if David would have made it and finished top 10 or better, you know, or every bit as good as that. So taking nothing away from what he's done, especially the hip issues that he's overcome, still up in the air because, you know, to me, the other two favorites have a chance to win while David doesn't.
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting until that last putt's hit at the NCAA championship to cast my vote. Women's might be a different story. I think Mirabelle Ting at this point has proven herself the Annika Award winner. Looking at the rankings, they are updated. It is David Ford at 110 average points. No clue what that means. But Jackson Koivun, 101.58. Luke Clanton, 101.11. So it's super, super close. But David Ford not going to be there. The team that is going to be there, though, for the first time, they're the only first-timer in the field next week. That's the Troy Trojans. Clay Bounds, now in his second year. Pretty incredible job when you consider that he got the job prior to last season. And it's not like there was a complete changing of the guard within that roster. He went to work. He shared his message to the team. He got them all to stay. They've had some injuries earlier this year. Brantley Scott, their best player, who, you know, is one letter off from having a all-time name. But, you know, Brantley with an A, we can't hold that against him. Didn't play at all in the fall. Had a right shoulder injury. Came out this spring. And they've been, I don't want to say a completely different team, because they did win in the fall without him. But certainly having his score there helps out as well. Like you just thought that North Carolina was gonna somehow sneak through. They got above Troy by a couple shots, but Troy finishing on the easier front side, you know, the last four holes, you know, that's how you got to play to advance at an NCAA regional, and they really left nothing to chance there. I believe sixth hole, they played that with three birdies and an eagle, couple birdies on seven, so by my math, that's seven under on your last four holes. That's going to get it done. And, you know, how about this? They celebrate with Cubs tickets. They went to the game at Wrigley last night against the Marlins. Marlins ended up beating them. But hey, I mean, got to sit in the outfield at Wrigley Field, advance to your first NCAA championship, and it's good to be a Trojan right now.
Head to Bremerton, Washington, that is. A two-team race for first. Florida wins. Arizona State second. Clear separation between them and Colorado, USF, and South Carolina, all moving on. Utah made a late charge. Kansas State was kind of in the mix. I think maybe other than Utah getting in, we were teetering. You were talking about the Buffaloes last week. How would these Southern teams travel? And I got to start with the Florida Gators. They're good. They're better than I thought. Luke Poulter for a long time had been the wild card, if you will, the X factor, now healthy for JC Deacon. For me, it's Matthew Kress, the guy who was a big part of their national championship team 2 years ago, the walk-on who had every reason not to leave California and go to Florida, you know, joining the big three from 2 years ago at Greyhawk. Ian Gilligan didn't play great. He had a big number. He threw up, I think, a 10 on 14 early. Florida is now one of the five or six teams that I believe can win it all for the men. Maybe it's seven or eight. The way Florida is playing right now, they're as good as anyone in the country. Yeah, and what do we talk about? These are the 6 weeks a year that matter, and there isn't – you're going to be hard-pressed to find a team that's playing better than them right now.
Yeah, I think I am taking a break from predicting who's going to win and who's not. But you know, you mentioned Matthew Kress. I mean, this is they kind of needed him. You know, with Ian Gilligan, he didn't play well in his U.S. Open local qualifier. Shot a big number there. Did get it back on the rails a little bit that final round. So you know, I think he's trending back to being that. But yeah, I mean they're kind of one through five now, you know, Jack Turner, Zach Swanwick now kind of finding his place. And this is a team I was looking at it. There might be some sort of, you know, lazy narrative next week where it's like, you know, the Florida Gators, they got to travel all the way to the West Coast again. Most of this team isn't even from Florida. Like Jack Turner from Orlando is the only guy who, you know, didn't grow up in, you know, different conditions. I mean, Ian Gilligan's from Reno. You mentioned Matthew Kress from California, Luke Poulter from England. I'm kind of with you. I think this is a team that definitely has the match play potential and, you know, definitely has the potential to make a run. I don't think we went over the totals from the last
We did not. What do we got there? Because I have 10-9 lead.
I only got two. I had NC State, who finished 13th out of 13 teams, and then you had three. You missed on Marquette, and you missed on North Carolina, as did I. So, and then with this one, Bremerton, you got four. I got four because we both picked the exact same five, and we both missed on the Utah Utes. So, That's not bad, but I think my performance in Urbana has kind of ended my threat looking at the rest of these picks. But
it was a valiant run, my friend.
You know, I just knew I felt like last week I kind of peaked. You know, my peak is drawing level with you, and so I mean this just brings me back more to my average. And you know, what do I expect? You know, I can't expect too much, but yeah, I mean, South Carolina gets through. Rob Bradley, I was talking to someone on the phone this morning and kind of going through Coach of the Year candidates. And while you could certainly make a case for, you know, the coaches of number one seeded teams, I think if you look a little bit further down, you know, kind of pinpoint the job that Michael Beard's done at Pepperdine this year, but then also Rob Bradley at South Carolina moving over his first year and getting them to their first NCAA championship since 2019, which did not go well for them. Remember, they were involved in that slow play penalty at the time at the Blessings, but getting back and, you know, a team with Nathan Franks and Frankie Harris, who are a good 1-2 punch. And, you know, hopefully Nathan can get some rest now, makes the cut, plays well on the PGA Tour last week in Myrtle Beach, flies out, gets a top 25 finish as well. So he'll get rested up and, you know, the chickens will be headed out west.
We stay out west, Reno, Nevada, Montreux, weather, wind, cold. It quite honestly looked miserable.
Really cool.
Starts and stops, and it didn't work out for a lot. But BYU, they won. Keep an eye on them. The Cougars, another good team. Virginia, they're a staple moving to the NCAAs. Texas, then San Diego ranked 40th, and then Cal making a late run. And you look at the three teams right below them, 28th ranked Mississippi State, 21st Duke, 16th Alabama. I think that was another regional we, you know, always reiterate, when teams from the Southeast go to places they're not quite familiar, sometimes it gets them. But I think the weather was the story. So that regional kind of jumbled. But before I sort of end on that with the six regionals, it truly is a testament to where men's college golf has gone in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The depth across the board, and we're only going to see more of it once there's roster cap limits. It isn't the old guard, you know, each and every year. It's nice to see a first timer or teams that haven't been for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. That's one of the enjoyable parts for me.
You missed two here. You got three. I got four. I was feeling really good about BYU, and they made me look smart. And I think you picked them as well. But they win this regional, which I felt like never really stopped. Like they kind of got going late Monday afternoon, and because of the 70-mile-per-hour gusts, and it just felt like it never stopped. And did you see the snow on the ground, by the way? Did you see how
I didn't see the snow. I saw layers upon layers. It was really one of those that I would not have been playing golf in. I'll be very honest about that.
Yeah, I mean, so water was blowing out of lakes on Monday, and then they had snow flurries, and it looked like, I mean, granted, they are up in the mountains there. I think I forget what the elevation is exactly, but it was no surprise that the boys from Provo got it done. And I mean, heck, I can only imagine how good this team would be this year if Cooper Jones didn't choose to go on his mission right now, if he had pushed it back a little bit, or I don't know the specifics on the reason for the timing of that. But, you know, with him not in the lineup, I mean, they're still pretty good, but I think this could potentially be a match play team if he was playing. But to have Cole Ponick now, who's a 6-year guy, was an AJJ All-American, kind of had an up and down college career, didn't play a couple seasons ago, just 3 starts last year. Like, he's had a resurgence and been a big part of what they've been doing. They're going to start early. They're going to play that third round, you know, as we know, next Thursday. And I haven't looked at the weather, but maybe that's to their advantage. If they get a little bit better weather that day, maybe that could help them out as well. Kind of looking further down here, I picked Cal. You did not pick Cal. They dug themselves a massive hole, 20 over after the first day. But Michael Wilson, another first-year head coach, getting them back to their second straight. Which program are you most worried about? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but between these, you know, SEC, ACC powers, Mississippi State, Duke, Alabama, all three missed last year. A couple of them have put multiple years together now, missing out on the NCAA championship, but kind of projecting the next 1, 2, 3 years. And, you know, this is no indictment on the job that the coaches are doing, but which program are you most concerned about kind of looking forward 1, 2, 3 years from now?
Good question. I mean, I feel like they're all kind of in the same boat. My gut would say Alabama, only because Alabama. Because the standard was so high and so good. They played for 3 straight national championships in 12 and 13 and 14. But it goes back to what I said 2 minutes ago. Things have changed in those 12 years. It's bigger, it's deeper, it's better. I'll go there just because you're in the SEC and there's 5, 6, 7, 8 teams better than them. That's the pure facts. But JC, well, we know he'll rally the troops. I guess the question would be, who is the next Nick Dunlap there? You know, who's their next star? To be determined.
It was supposed to be Nicholas Gross. You know, he's still got some improvement at the college level. It was supposed to be, I guess, Chase Kyes, but he's now going to Tennessee. I mean, you don't build $70 million practice facilities to finish, you know, 11th or 10th or whatever. I guess they made match play this year at the SECs, but to miss out on NCAA or the NCAA championship. So, I'm a little bit more concerned with that program, over the previous two, but again, same way of thinking as you. It's just because the standard there is not to do what they've done the last handful of years. One more thing out of this regional, how about our guy Paul Chang from University of Virginia? You know, NCAA regional champ, This is a guy who was on the club team for 3 years before the USAM at Cherry Hills, made the quarters there, you know, had bugged. I mean, it's a pretty funny story because he was born in China, went to boarding school in England, and he applied just like you or I would apply at a university back in the day, and got accepted, computer science, I believe it is. And he emails or walks into Bowen Sargent's office and says, "Hey, how do I sign up for the golf team?" And he goes, "Well, it doesn't quite work that way." So Bowen directed him to the club team. He played well there, and before that USAM, he was playing the qualifier for that. And Bowen was recruiting a guy who happened to be in the same group, and this was at Birdwood, their home course. And Paul qualifies, and so that next day, Bowen, you know, and he had heard from his guys because Paul would ride his little rental scooter to the course every day. He'd play with a lot of the guys like Ben James, Brian Lee, those guys. And they would tell Bowen, like, this guy can play a little bit. And Bowen ended up offering him a walk-on spot. A few months later, quarterfinals at Cherry Hills. Great fall last year. And then tried to change so much in his game that he didn't even make the postseason lineup last spring. And then fast forward now, and he's a regional champ. I mean, we'll definitely, if Virginia, as long as they play well next week, this will be a story that we share on the broadcast probably several times. It's just one of those ones. And I think probably that one of the crazier stories that we have out of these 30 teams going in next week.
That is the situation for the men. The women get going on Friday. I haven't done it in a while. I'm going on. The tee times aren't posted. So I'm not going to go on a nice rant and rave. I thought I'd kind of set the stage, and we're less than 24 hours and there's nothing on the live scoring website.
Is there not? I haven't even checked. That's
well, it took me 8 clicks to find the tournament.
Because it hasn't started yet, right?
Tee time and for, I mean, you've got players, you got leader, but whatever. You
know, I clicked on the schedule. The first thing that came up is the NGI. So, I mean, Clip has got their priorities in order. They have the NGI top of mind. D1 women's here. Click on
it.
Yeah,
no, you can. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, no tee times. We do have lineups.
Agreed.
I haven't gone through it. Let me just
bottom
check
line.
Lineup,
yeah, well, Georgia, we're headed Southern. There.
Georgia Southern's got all their transfer portal girls in there. So no one's left yet. No one's transferred. They're still going to have a team. So that's good. You clipped me 20-19, by the way. Just totaled them
up. It was a nail biter. You know, Stanford is the standard. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Can anyone get them? I think there's certainly a handful of teams. Once you get to match play, it's going to be fun. You know, I'm part of the broadcast. As you said, I'd pull a Herbie. I'm not going to tell
you
who's going to
win.
Well, I appreciate it. We got a great team around us. Looking forward to it. But it's good. These are the 2 weeks, my friend. I will see you out there in a few days. Safe travels. And, you know, we'll hunker down for a fortnight and crown a couple, or I guess four national champs, because we'll have the individuals on Monday and then the teams on Wednesday. Going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait for breakfast with Burko, too.
It's a staple. It's a staple. The waiting list is long, I am sure. We are looking forward to it. We hope you are as well. We appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in to this edition of College Golf Talk. When we return next week, we will recap how the women have played in Carlsbad. Until next time, take care.